Hey guys, welcome.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Agon Bros.
Yes guys, so this is a return to the original format as you can tell. So yes. It's just me and Juan today. We're kind of gave you a little overview for this episode, I was about to say for the semester. A little overview of this episode on, you know, the guests we've had. You know, we've had a little bit of bigger names this time. Mm-hmm. And we kind of wanted to just fill you guys in a little bit on the future trajectory of what we're trying to do here. So, you know, just a little bit of touch and go on the process, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Some of the background info. And if you guys want to give some feedback, please do. We love having ideas for guests on. I think some of those people were recommendations from Twitter. So please just sound off on the comments or even Twitter. So
yes. And guys, we'll just keep it short, you know. Go ahead and check us out on Twitter if you haven't already, Instagram. We're also on TikTok. And then, of course, you guys know the YouTube. I know some of you listen to the audio. And, yeah, that's it, guys. Just we'll see you in a little bit.
Yep.
Hello, beautiful people. We love seeing you.
Boom. Thank you.
I know you're probably expecting, like, President Obama or...
No.
Or I'll say ex-President Obama or someone.
Yeah.
Someone big on this episode.
No. Not this time, folks. This time we want to just kind of give a recap, I guess, because a lot of people have been asking us, man, well, just people from our own program and then people from even undergrad that I've gone to school with, they're like, wow, you had Andrew Dotson on, you had, you know, I'm sure you've had people like that, like, contact you about
yeah
and
Agon Bros are moving up in the land, ladies and gentlemen.
We are so we want to thank you friends.
We appreciate you guys watching all the videos and leaving us good suggestions of who to get.
Yeah for sure. And there's also some questions that I've been asked, like, you know, how were they? It's almost like you're getting close to this level of stardom. I'm kidding.
Right.
Slightly.
Physics stardom.
Yeah. It's you're like, wow. How was Andrew? How was So this one guy, he actually messaged me and he was like, I think you know Chris, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris if he's watching right now. I was like, yeah, man. Next time we get Andrew on, you know, you can come and sit down. We'll have a live audience here. Just like clapping.
Yeah, we were talking about just to fill the audience in a little bit of doing live streams. So we need to start. One thing we're interested in starting to do is like actually have more audience interaction.
Right.
You know, maybe have a live stream on YouTube where we can maybe bring in a guest or bring in just you guys and talk about physics or things that you guys are interested in talking about. Maybe even MBTI or something.
Yeah,
and if you guys are interested in that, you know, let us know. If you have any ideas, you know, just leave them in the comments. We'll read every comment. So, yeah. What do you think about that, Juan?
Well, even if you want to give us feedback on Twitter, like, we're actually really active on Twitter, thanks to Terrence.
Yeah. So if you leave pretty much any social media, if you guys check, if you guys go to Instagram, Twitter, what's the other ones? TikTok even.
The TikTok's
If you leave a message on any of those platforms to me, I mean, I'll get to it. So,
yeah, for sure. So
YouTube, of course,
and also pretty soon we'll actually be starting. This is kind of a teaser. I don't know if we teased it yet. We're going to be starting a sort of problem solving sort of like series.
Yes, we did not tease it yet. So no, what we're going to try to do is So Wall's got his Wall.
we'll bleep that out. But I have basically my own version of comps that need to be passed, and so we'll use this time to pretty much kind of synergize these two things and hopefully go over some very famous physics problems that that students like us, like Terrence and I, are expected to know to pass this kind of exam. So.
Yeah, so if you guys are interested in following along with us and doing, you know, some physics problems, we're going to start doing that more regularly and actually solving, you know, real physics problems. So if, you know, even if you're a layman or something, we can hopefully make it explanatory enough to where you can actually follow along. So we're going to try to make it real real understandable. Mm-hmm. So these are going to be, of course, like shorter videos. They won't be, you know, hour long podcasts. But if you're here for the podcast, it means you can stick it out. But
yeah,
you know, these should be more digestible within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
We're probably not going to put it on the main channel. We're going to have to do a separate channel. I don't want to shout it out just yet in case anything, you know,
changes.
Like, yeah, in case there's a change in names or anything, but mm-hmm. We have names for the channels in mind. They should be related. Eigen Bros name related.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just stay tuned for that. And, you know, if you guys aren't on our Twitter yet, go ahead and subscribe.
Yeah.
And we'll give notifications on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So.
So stay tuned for that.
Oh, we also have a mailing list online. It's still messed up, though. I can't figure out what's the problem with that mailing list. But one of these days, if you guys, you know, if you just even put your information there, I'm still taking manually the emails and names. So, you know, we'll pump out some updates to you guys through email if you just get on there and, you know, sign up.
Well,
you'll be in the loop.
Well, the thing is, I know what the problem is with mailing lists.
What's that?
The fact that it's a mailing list.
No, people like mailing lists still.
I mean, this is...
Don't try to make it sound like it's boomer territory, Juan. It's not. It's not.
All right, comment down below if it's boomer territory. You know. Because, you know, me and Terrence, we're technically zillennials, okay?
So, you trying to make up terms now, Juan?
No, we're at the tail end of...
Is that a thing?
I like to think it is. Because... Hold on, hear me out. Because... You know, we're like at the tail end. We're almost near the cutoff. 94 is a cutoff.
I'm kind of far away from there. I'm 87, man.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Terrence just showed his age. All right.
Yeah, I'm an old fucker. I mean, they can all see it with this bald-ass fucking head, so what are you going to do?
I mean, I guess. I'm not too far away from that, but, like, I'm just saying. I guess maybe I am a fucking zillennial.
Yeah, you're closer, I guess. But then you're, what, three years or four years?
I'm, like, I think four.
Okay, I think four. You're born in the 90s.
Yeah,
so that feels more closer. Yeah, you're more zillennial than I am. Ugh. 80s just sounds far away.
Sounds like cocaine and disco music.
No, I mean, cocaine's right, but disco, no. It's more like cocaine and vanilla ice.
Yeah.
Actually, is vanilla ice 90s? Maybe he's
early
90s.
I think he's late 80s. Yeah, it sounds about right. Late 80s. Yeah.
Well, cocaine and hair metal. How about that?
Okay. That works too. Yeah. Depending on what social sphere you were in.
Mm.
But yeah. So just in general, though, I kind of wanted to talk about like guests, I think, guests in the future. Like what kind of guests would you like to have on, I think, now?
Ooh.
We kind of
talking to the audience or talking to me?
Talking to you.
Oh, man. So I'd really like to get some more... of course, I want to get some more physics YouTube guys on here. One, a couple I've had in mind is I really want to get Veritasium on here, especially after I saw him on the Tiger Belly podcast.
How did that go for the listeners that...
on Tiger Belly?
Yeah.
I think it was probably enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Did you
them.
Watch?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. I watched the whole thing. I watched that podcast religiously.
Gotcha.
Big Bobby Lee fan.
Yeah.
Shout
out to Robert Lee.
Robert E. Lee. Mm-hmm.
Is his name really?
I don't think it's. I don't think he is. I don't know if Koreans do middle names.
If you're,
I can't remember
Korean,
though.
Let me know.
Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of line if that's not true. But I don't know.
But let's just say, so he went on Robert's podcast.
Yeah, he went on Robert's podcast, and he talked a little bit about science, but Bobby kept asking him about medical science. Because that's the only thing relevant to his life. So so I was like, wow, he's asking him all these medical questions.
Yeah. Classic Bobby Lee, though.
Yeah, which has literally nothing to do with physics.
Beautiful.
Except maybe at the fundamental level, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, it's funny, but Veritasium, he handled it well. He's got a comedic bone. Which is one reason why I want to get him on here. I'm like, okay, he gets it, man. He understands. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he does. He does. He definitely seems on that same vein. He was one of the few guys that kind of started this whole physics YouTube
Yeah,
thing,
he
right?
was. Yeah.
He was one of the founding fathers, I guess you could say.
Yeah, him and Minute Physics and like Brady, the Number File Gang. Those are like the guys that I always think of as like the founders of all this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if the chronology is correct, but Those are always the guys that come to my brain first.
Same here. And the I know he's not in physics, but Vsauce is along the same lines.
Yeah, yeah. Vsauce is kind of a cooler.
Yeah.
A little bit different though, because he also talks about things even outside of physics. You know? He talks about just anything weird or unusual.
Yeah, anytime that song drops.
Okay,
we're about to go somewhere.
It's gonna be good.
Rabbit hole. Yeah, for 10 minutes. Yeah, I love the intro. He's a funny guy. Like, he actually used to do political videos on YouTube.
Vsauce?
Yeah.
If you go
all the way back into his videography, you will see him making funny political videos in the same vein as what's his name? What's his name?
Dylan Berger?
No.
Oh.
not you, Dylan. Not Dylan.
Dylan doesn't watch this.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dylan brought this much. He's too many important things to do.
Yeah.
No, the other guy who does like meme videos. You know what I'm talking
meme
about?
Meme videos.
Yeah, it's like YouTube poop almost, where like he clips these videos in a weird
I don't
fashion.
Know if I know him.
Well, basically, I think it's Steven Berger, I want to say. Could be. Okay. Who knows?
But we'll have to find it later.
In the same vein as that. It's just silly kind of YouTube poop kind of video, and I was surprised that he did that, but yeah, Michael Vsauce.
I'm not. He seems like a silly guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's got that silly sense of humor.
Yeah,
because if you follow him on Twitter, I follow him on. You know, I'm closer to the Twitter, so I get to see this stuff. But every time you look at his Twitter page, he has some like silly shit on there sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
He'd be a fun
guy. He just likes unusual, interesting things that lie outside the norm.
Yeah, I think he would be a great guest to have on.
I agree.
Brady as well.
Yes. Brady's another one that's on my list. You've pretty much nailed two that I want to get on here at some point. These are big catches though, folks. Don't expect us to get these people.
Yeah, I know.
We're trying to get some good guests for you, but you know.
Yeah, we're climbing up the ranks.
Yeah.
Here. But yeah, Brady.
This could be tomorrow, or this could be like never.
but yeah, Brady's a huge one. Brady's a huge one because if you haven't seen any of these channels, I presume you have, for a lot of you folks out there. But I know that we have some young listeners that maybe don't know, some of the YouTube stuff that predated us 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I guess like, YouTube's kind of old now.
Yeah,
huh?
YouTube's kind of old. Because, I mean, Vsauce right. was 2012, from the heyday, at least for me, that I remember.
I think you're right.
And a number file was around that time, too.
Yep, because it was really, I was into it during my undergraduate days.
Yeah, same here. So yeah, it's these are big YouTube channels that have sort of laid the foundation and for science content. And so... So yeah, specifically Numberphile though, I kind of wanted to. He kind of like laid the foundation. He was kind of the blueprint,
right.
Something similar to what we wanted to do initially, right? Which is you wanted to interview professors in the department.
Yeah. That's still not out the cards. I don't know if we want an interview in our department just because I don't want to dox us. But
yeah. It's a little risque.
But one thing, I mean, we have an interview. I don't know if we've even said this yet. I think we might have, but we have an interview with a professor from UC Colorado. Mm-hmm.
From Boulder, right?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He's not from Boulder.
He works with the
professor. He works for NIST.
He works for NIST.
Yeah, he worked with a professor from Boulder, my bad. The Nobel laureate guy. We got to put his interview at some point.
That should be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to the Twitter. I think it should be announced when it's live.
Yeah. I think I'm going to throw it on Instagram TV, though, just as a test, because it's kind of separate from the podcast. Gotcha. It's a short interview, but I think it's interesting. He's a quantum computing-related guy, does stuff with... Hold on, let me not mess up. I think... Go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I remember you walking away from that interview being like... Like, wow, okay, I kind of get how they do superposition now.
Yeah, I was satisfied with an answer he gave me.
Yeah.
I wasn't satisfied because I understood it. I was satisfied that he gave me a new answer.
Okay.
So I actually need to go back and listen to it again myself
just
to understand it. Uh-huh. But yeah, just a teaser, if you guys are interested as much as I am about this, he does give an answer of how you actually measure the superposition of a particle. And it doesn't have to do with collapsing the state over and over and over again and then reading the probability. It's actually measuring the superposition somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stay tuned for that. The guy's name is Diedrich Leifried, and I'll post that on Instagram TV, I think, at some point.
It'll probably be cross-posted through Twitter as well. So if you're on Twitter, stay tuned. Yeah. But yeah, in the same vein as that, though, that's what I kind of wanted to say, that it was, we kind of thought about it being somewhat similar to this, adding extra content similar to Numberphile.
Yeah.
Where we were interviewing professors and asking them basically these big concepts in physics and then mm-hmm. getting clarification from them.
I think we could still do that, but it's going to be something kind of separate from the podcast. The podcast is always going to be kind of the main thing. And then, you know, we can do all the other stuff peripheral to it, I think.
Yeah.
And those might go on all other social media mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I mean, if you all like that particular kind of, I guess, if the listeners like what we did with the interview with the Nobel laureate group, mm-hmm. basically, we could replicate that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So if y'all like content like that, just let us know, like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, guys, you guys have been very supportive, and we appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Yeah.
You know, just following our content regularly and then, you know, leaving likes and comments.
This is a feedback-based show. Yeah. This is an empirical, how would you say, empirically based show.
So. That's right. We're experimentalists all the way through and through, baby.
Yeah,
so.
We adapt. You know, we build, we take in new information and adjust. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, guys. So if you guys ever want to see anything interesting or you have good thoughts about what you want to, where the direction of this show mm-hmm. goes, you know, leave the comment. You know, we won't promise that we're going to follow it, uh-huh. but, you know, if it sounds cool to us or we get a lot of interest in it, mm-hmm. then, you know, for sure we might put it into our consciousness.
I just want to add one thing, and I know we're getting onto kind of a tangent here because I kind of want to circle back, but I do need to address this. Back in January 31st, we had an episode that was published where a listener asked, hey, can you guys talk about coronavirus? and then wow. I said, nah, you know what? I'm sure the U.S. infrastructure is better than other countries that will handle this pretty well. And here we are, folks, two months into a quarantine.
I didn't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. That was foolish of me to say. But listeners like that, just they were literally like looking. They were saying, "Hey, can you guys talk about coronavirus?"
Mm.
We should have covered that. But you know, there's enough channels out there that do it really great.
Yeah.
Justice. So,
yeah, that's also, you know, for us, it's a little bit uncomfortable. But I mean, when I've covered coronavirus stuff like on Twitter, uh-huh. it's always been things in relation to the math.
Yeah.
Or some kind of statistical analysis.
Yeah.
Because the actual biology stuff of it,
yeah,
that's out the fucking window for me. I mean, bio is just so complicated difficult.
I talk about proteins all day.
Oh, yeah. Well, Juan, you're more comfortable because you have the actual biology background for a while. Undergraduate, at least. And, for me, though, I can't really touch it. So, it's going to come for you.
Well, yeah. Anyway, there's enough YouTube people. Like Metaphysics has a great series going on with the coronavirus stuff. So check that out if you can. But going back to the University of Nottingham stuff, like Numberphile stuff, they had physics as well, right? It's 60. What is it called? 60 symbols.
60 symbols. 60 symbols. I grouped those guys all together with Numberphile and
same.
And computer, or what's the other one? The computer one.
I don't know. Computerphile.
That's what I was thinking, but it might be actually. I can't remember.
It might be
because I watched that one more seldomly.
Yeah.
And actually, Numberphile's not even been that, you know, reoccurring lately. I don't think.
No, I think Brady's kind of slowed down with the content.
Yeah.
So.
Or maybe he's gone other places. I'm not sure.
Maybe he's actually went to school because I know he wasn't a student, right? That's his thing.
Right. He's like, I think he's a film guy, I want to say.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I'm like, how the heck did he get into this? But I mean, that's a great move to go down the physics rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Now they have millions of viewers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of interesting stuff.
Smart move.
I mean, if you haven't checked it, I'm sure you guys have seen that. So mm-hmm. if you haven't, check it out. It's a great YouTube channel.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, another one. I don't know, Numberphile, he seems like a cool guy. I mean, Miniphysics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's mysterious though to me. I don't know. Yeah, I've never seen his face.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it would kind of be cool to reveal his face somehow.
Well, actually, no, podcast. I think he does reveal his face, but I'm not sure. I can't tell from his voice.
Mm.
Like, his voice doesn't match his face. I'm sorry if that offends you, but like, I was like, it's a little bit, maybe because I'm used to a disembodied voice.
Yeah.
For so long.
I felt the same way about Grant Sanderson as well.
Ah.
But until I started being more comfortable with his face and his voice together, then it's like, okay, now I can't see him any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, shouts out to Grant for doing our video. He was really cool. Actually, all the people that we had on were really great.
Yeah, they were all awesome.
Yeah.
They were all awesome. I hope we can do some more things with them in the future, and then I also hope we can get some more people on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other people that you were thinking on the hit list, Swan?
Besides those?
Yeah.
Well, like, if everything goes well, you know, the Eigenbros will be moving further into the East Coast, I think.
Ooh.
I think.
Okay.
If everything goes well.
Okay.
I think we will be going into, how would you say, New York territory.
Mm. Okay. This is unbeknownst to me.
You know what I mean? No, I think we had a conversation about this.
Did we? You got to remind me now. I'm drawing a blank. All those guys
at Princeton.
Oh, you're talking about like going on the scene to like campuses and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're more. I think that area is more dependent on monetary funding. So,
well, I'm saying that might clear up, but within the next year or so, we should be. I mean, if everything goes smoothly with this whole quarantine thing stuff, I think we'd be in a prime position to really see some grade A content in terms of like theorists and stuff,
right?
Because there's a lot of now. A lot of you probably know by now the way this is. We're going to let you in a little bit into the podcast behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like this is a good behind the scenes episode.
Yeah. Well, because like there's a lot of if you're a physics fan, if you're a physics connoisseur or whatever, you know that a lot of the big name brand physicists live in the West Coast. Or the most famous ones, right?
Yeah.
Like, who do we got?
The ones on TV and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Who do we got?
On the West Coast?
Top of your head, yeah. I can name a couple, but I want to see what you have to say.
Now I'm not sure.
Steve. Dr. Carroll, dude.
That's not Steve, bro. That's Sean.
Oh, Sean. Not that Sean. I'll beat that out because I think of Steve.
I'm like, from Blue's Clues?
Steve Carroll? Who's Steve Carroll?
I think you're maybe thinking of Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
From The Office.
Thank you. I'm gonna believe that.
We need to put his face on there.
Dr. Steve Carell. I haven't finished my caffeinated drink yet. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, do you have the time? By the way, Juan, are you keeping track?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't start my clock.
Yeah, we're 23 minutes in.
All right, sweet. But yeah, Sean Carroll, that was the first guy I was thinking of as well. Is he, I'm pretty sure he's West Coast.
Yeah, he goes to Caltech.
Of course, my number one idol of all time. You already know who it is.
Yeah.
Who's my guy?
He's a crazy haired guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big hair.
Jewish.
Big man.
Jewish, yeah.
A beautiful Jewish man.
Shout out to all my Jewish kings.
Mm-hmm. My favorite guy ever, Eric Weinstein.
Yeah, he's...
Eric is the best, man.
Man,
he's like the dude... He's the number one dude I would have at a dinner party to just chill with.
Well, actually, going back to this, like, all those big guys... Like, I can look at... We'll name a couple of the East Coast... Actually, we won't name any of the East Coast guys because we don't want content to be taken away from us.
Nah, so, there's no content being taken away from us. You can name them more. Nobody cares.
No, we won't have... I don't... This is...
Nobody's watching this.
This is trade secret. No, but in all seriousness, like all those West Coast guys, like I think an interview with Sean Carroll would not go well between us.
Why is that?
He just seems like if he doesn't like Eric,
he's
not going to like us.
I think he will because he'll see us as just like dumb kids, you know? He'll just be like, you know, kind of humoring us with physics concepts because Eric is an equal to him. So they're actually competing in the same sphere.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I know so. Like, we're not seriously on the same spectrum as those guys.
Probably not, no.
No, so, like, he's not going to see us as someone to be annoyed by because, yeah. you know, we're just kids.
So how
in his eyes.
Well, you're the one who knows more about this, but...
yeah.
Has... I know you also listen to Lex Fridman's stuff.
Yes.
Has Sean Carroll been on Lex Fridman's show?
Oh, I think he has. I think he has. Yeah. Lex has gotten so many good people.
Well, because he's, I mean, not to hate, but like proximity, right?
Yeah, because
like,
Lex, I also have been hanging out on the Lex Discord.
Yeah.
So there's Lex Fridman Discord and then there's the Eric Weinstein Discord. You know, Eric kind of inspired Lex to start his own Discord and it just shot up. It's even bigger than Eric's now, pretty much. And Alex is really good about keeping his stuff organized, too, which is something that Eric's Discord kind of lacks. Lex will actually talk about or will actually post times he'll be in the Discord, and then he'll post meeting times. So his has been really doing well right now.
Nice.
That's another guest I'd like to get on the podcast.
Lex?
Lex Fridman.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot
he's
of
cool.
West Coast guys,
yeah. But what were you saying?
No, I'm just saying, like... I was just
like you're about to fire some shots.
I wanted to see if Lex, how Lex and Sean vibed, but it could be different. I just think that there are certain physics people that might think we're too silly.
Yeah, but you know this is the nice thing about podcasts. Uh-huh. They're so long that when people try to check out our stuff, they don't get to see us talking all the dumb shit we talk.
Sure.
Which is why I think we've had so much luck with getting people who are more serious.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, because they just see the surface. Oh, they talk about physics. You know, that's good enough.
All right, yeah, cool.
But little do they know.
Little do they know
how silly we can actually
really
get about shit.
Yeah.
But I love it. But then there's guys like Andrew Dodson who actually, you know, will actually listen to his stuff, who actually likes the humor.
Yeah, who's,
you know.
Also, yeah, Andrew's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew's probably, I think, one of our best, like, allies in the game.
Yeah.
Who's a big guy.
Yeah, he's really
playing field.
So, Andrew and Dylan are pretty funny.
Yeah,
people.
Andrew and Dylan are probably our two closest allies in the game,
yeah,
I'd say.
But it's
although we're still, you know, small time, but you know,
it's because we're working backwards, folks. This
yeah,
is
yeah.
typically, you know, typically you don't fall onto a podcast and then build up. You usually have something and then you have a podcast.
Right. A podcast is a difficult thing to grow from the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's we're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be a slow process, but I mean. So much shout outs to Andrew because he's really the one who got all of this, you know, going with us being able to even get these higher quality guests for you guys. So,
oh, true.
I mean, definitely, Andrew, you know, if you can show love to Andrew, you know, you guys make sure definitely support his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him some money on Patreon. He needs it. You know, he's a poor boy eating ramen noodles every night.
guaranteed he's struggling just like every other graduate student like us out there. So
that YouTube money ain't that good.
Yeah. It's not, you know, monetization is not.
Yeah.
Google's probably the only one making money off of this pandemic.
Yeah, they are. I'm sure.
Just like revenue. Anyway.
And Kleenex.
I don't want to get.
Or what's the tissue company?
Yeah, Kleenex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toilet tissue, though. They sell toilet tissue?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
But that would be a great move.
I thought
about that a long time ago. I was like, that would be a great way. Because that's a perishable people aren't willing. That's a commodity people aren't willing to. It's an inflexible good is what you would call in the economic terms.
Not quite. I think one way you can get toilet tissue is if you somehow popularized bidets.
I mean, I would go for a bidet. But they're just
Me too.
Not. They're just not...
Bidets are all the rage, apparently, in the comedian podcast community.
Yeah, it's been a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Europe, like,
in
European
Europe,
places,
it's
yeah.
It's
That's
like,
what I'm saying. If Americans can just say, you know, grow up and stop being, trying to think they're going to catch the gay by getting water squirted
on
their
asses. Well, if anything, it's more, quote-unquote, suspect when you take your hand and, you know, insert it into your cheeks.
Right. There you go.
That's definitely more suspect. And in fact, somebody put it in better terms. Somebody said, like, if a bird craps on your arm, do you just wipe it with the tissue paper and call it a day? Or do you actually, like, make sure to, like, clean
you wash
it with
it.
Water?
You wash it.
You wash it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same principle here, yeah, folks.
Very true, man. I don't know what the deal is, but we should get on that bidet life for real.
Yeah. I just think like companies are basically like, this is very, I don't know, they've done a good job of, toilet paper companies have done a good job of like fooling people, I don't know, or making him think that it's like, you know, what's that joke that's happening now on Twitter where it's like female trait or something like that? What is that?
You know what I think I do know what you're talking about, where I saw something where it was saying how a woman was like, it's a man, it's gay for a man to eat dessert.
Or order appetizers.
Yeah. She's saying like, I'd rather have a guy order two meals than order dessert.
That's insane. Like the people that, I hope it's a joke. I don't think it is. Because she seemed not to be joking.
Yeah.
But it's on that level of like, what is going on in this world? Are there people actually think like this? But yeah, anyway, these companies are probably tricking people into thinking, yeah, this is a, yeah, why, you know, I'm not going to go along with this joke. I'm going to stop there. Anyway, let's keep it going to something else. So
We're doing pretty good at staying on subject, actually. Yeah, usually we can go around the fucking moon and back.
Oh, I'm trying.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to stay focused.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay on.
We're trying to be linear. You know, yeah, we're trying to be organized more for you guys so that you can actually follow. It's just not just a bunch of random ass thoughts coming through our brains, because we can go on random all day.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
but the guests that I'm just trying to think, like Lex would probably get along with. I just worry about those academics that are kind of rigid and a little too, how would you say, like their nose is up in the air a little bit.
But you know what?
But I don't know.
I can't hate on that, because I think a lot of times, one thing in the physics community is it's very much a community focused on precision and accuracy. Of course. I mean, that's what you want, right? You don't want a physicist fucking up calculations and whatnot.
No.
But that gets conflated in thinking that, you know, if you're silly or if you're, goofier, you know, that you're not taking things seriously, right? So it's like that gets construed with, oh, that you may be less accurate or less precise with your physics, your work. So I think a lot of those guys and gals, it's just natural to fall into that, you know, hyper professional, very precise, which you do want. I think you do want people like that for sure, but you know, we're not trying to be that. You know, we're trying to be more entertaining physicists while we can still retain accuracy.
For a show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want entertaining. Yeah. This is.
I don't think you guys just want to. I mean, I'm sure people are here for the physics and for interesting physics concepts, but, you know, we kind of want to give you guys a little bit of a break from your everyday calculations and shit, too. So you can still almost feel like you're working a little bit. You know, I always used to like to do that back in undergraduate, where, you know, I was like, I should be working, but I don't want to work. So maybe if I watch like a number file or a 3 Blue 1 Brown video, that kind of counts as working.
I had the same thing.
So like, I want to kind of use this podcast in that way of like, you know, you guys can learn a little bit of new things, you know, related to physics, but also feel like you're having an entertaining time at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just because you have enough serious people.
Yeah.
Actually, this is sort of a thing that's related. It's just because everybody is so serious when I go talk to them about physics, because it's a serious topic, right? You have to be serious. And so most of the time doing work and homework and even lab work and research, like, this is all very serious.
There's no need to inject humor into physics.
Right. So coming into this sphere, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm hanging out with my friends and just talking about physics. And then you get to kind of relax and speak a little bit more freely about these kinds of things, which is not necessarily, I'm sure it happens across all universities in the U.S. and even outside the U.S.
Right.
Just conversations like this about physics topics. But yeah, you know what? One person that I would like to have had on, I know he's slightly canceled, but he's dead now.
Who?
So life canceled him.
Oh, shit.
Richard Feynman.
Oh. He's canceled. He gets canceled in an oscillatory fashion.
Okay.
Like, people will cancel him, then they'll stop canceling him, then they'll cancel him again.
It's like
he gets canceled in waves.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, he's already dead, so it doesn't really matter. But like, He's
Feynman's
guy.
Always good in my book, though. I think people over cancel him for they like to over prescribe his bad traits.
Sure,
you know.
I will just say that reading his him as a lecturer though is very just a guy who knew how to digest topics and then convey them to the populace in a way that was similar to, I guess, I like to think in the fashion of some of these people that are communicating topics really well nowadays. He kind of embodies this, or he kind of encapsulates this.
Sorry, guys. We're having
no, that's fine.
We can't, technological issues there. Sorry.
He sort of embodies this philosophy of teaching and just understanding things really well enough to, how would you say?
Convey the concept in a simpler way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Articulate enough, and then this is a rare trait to have in physics because there's a lot of people, how would you say this? They kind of just word vomit a lot of things a lot of the time and don't even elaborate on basic physical things.
Mm-hmm.
And they assume that the people listening have a base of knowledge. Now, Eric kind of falls in this a little bit, but he does that by choice. I recognize that. Remember when he went on Joe Rogan's
Eric is
podcast?
A fucking Eric is a Feynman level or higher, actually, maybe even of explaining.
Maybe
Eric is probably one of the
but he chooses to make it difficult.
Yes, I mean when he wants to, though.
Yeah.
He's very calculated in all of the ways that he explains anything.
Yeah,
because when he talks about other things, he'll explain it very simply and clearly. You know, Eric has this level of explaining that is so nice and precise. It feels like he wrote it down first. Like, I don't know how he's able to just talk off the cuff so well without having written it down.
He probably writes a lot.
I think he has, because he used to write a lot of articles. So I think Eric wrote a lot of articles about some of the concepts he talks about. Like, he'll talk about things like the disk, which he calls the distributed idea suppression complex. He talks about things like the GIN. That's GIN, which is the gated institutional narrative. So he has all of these like words that he's invented.
I don't like guys who make acronyms.
Eric gets a pass because his acronyms are all new shit or new concepts, at least for me,
funny.
I haven't heard of in a wider body. So
gotcha.
And he's written all these articles on these really deep important concepts. Mm-hmm. So I think he must have written them in such a way where he's retained that in his brain and can, you know, kind of spout these concepts out at a high level because he has fleshed them out already. He's got, and it seems like Eric has like an endless supply of, you know, deep conceptual understanding, you know. And if you guys, well, the Portal Discord, which is Eric's podcast Discord, is unfortunately closed to the public. But if you're really, you know, since you're Eigenbros fans, if you message us on Twitter or something or wherever, you know, you can find us if you're diligent enough. You know, we can maybe get you an invite to the Portal Discord. Eric shows up there, you know, a lot of times, and we'll just randomly start talking about things that, you know, is relevant in whatever he's talking about that day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe if, you know, I just think it would go well with Eric. It would go well with somebody like, say...
saying if we got him on.
Yeah. I'm saying like guys like Michio Kaku.
Oh, yeah. I think Michio's kind of professional, but there's a side to him where I feel like
he has a sense of humor, I know.
Yeah. And I feel like he could go down the rabbit trail or down the rabbit hole with us because people 100%. Already think of Michio as crazy now. Like physicists want to just dismiss him as a crazy lunatic.
Yeah.
But I think Michio just... he's gone almost the full futurist route.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't really realize that Michio's kind of separated himself from physics a little bit. Now he's just into like making an imaginary world or imaginary he's creating a possible world.
Mm-hmm.
He loves creating possible worlds. Like he'll talk about things like, oh, we can transmit our brains across the universe with lasers. And then of course a physicist, typical physicist who's, you know, kind of thinks more simply is
bound
just like, oh, he's fucking lost it, you know. But he's trying to give you a realistic possible way to, you know, how the world could be in the future.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows what the future is going to be, but you kind of use the logic and the reason that exists within your time now And you can try to extend that to make a kind of a new sci-fi almost world, but yeah. it's less fiction, you know, because it's yeah. rooted in actual physics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem with Michio at all. I think he's really a cool guy. And I think he would be great to have on if we could, you know?
Yeah, he's a cool guy and doesn't afraid of anything.
Thank you, Juan.
That's an old meme. I hopefully dated myself with yeah. that one.
Dylan had a had the creator of Xbox on his physics no after hours. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was, I tried to ask him, and Dylan's format is a question format, so you leave questions in the comments. And I asked him, Is Halo a pretty cool guy who doesn't afraid of anything? But he skipped my question. I think. Bastard.
Of course. Yeah, actually, Bill Gates would be an interesting one if we could ever get to that level.
Bill Gates would be so hard to get to.
Oh yeah,
because he like just doesn't care about
that's
anything.
Final boss guy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a final boss kind of thing. Elon Musk is now more. He seems more attainable because he seems to be kind of losing it here and there.
Well, Elon's already been on Lex Friedman's podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, to discuss AI makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but, Elon's just a kind of guy who seems in touch with people. Like he still he tries to retain his humanity.
He has his let's just say yeah.
Yeah.
I can kind of see I have a lot of the same inclinations as Elon.
Yeah.
Like I definitely do. Like he's like a giant meme lord on Twitter.
Yeah.
And
I mean I got massive respect for Elon all day. I think despite what people want to try to paint him as like a crazy guy, I don't see him as crazy. I think him just I just see him as a human guy who just wants to still connect. Well,
That too, but I don't know how many layers of irony he's operating on. So I never at one moment, like I'm just like, is this guy? What is he? I can't tell if he's kidding or not.
Yeah.
Like how many meta layers is he building on like this of satire?
That's the thing with Elon. I have to always pause.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where he's operating at sometimes. Yeah. Because yeah, his job is so serious sometimes, yeah. and he does use his Twitter actually to still talk in a serious way.
Yeah.
But then he'll go full ham and just start talking about anime girls. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, it's kind of hard, especially via writing, like via tweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's much
especially
it's much,
if you don't include emojis or anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's much easier to tell someone's where someone is where their mental space is when you see them in person or when you hear them speak.
Yeah, because
it's a lot harder via text.
I have
text.
This telltale sign for me personally is just like I will smile if I'm saying something.
And you'll
really
start laughing.
I say something really stupid and I'll just like smile at the corner of my mouth. But with Elon, who knows?
Yeah.
We will never know.
But he's not some dumb idiot crazy guy.
No, he's not.
I mean
he's probably a little bit crazy. You gotta be a little bit crazy, dude.
I guess. But he's controlled crazy. He's crazy in the sense that he has big ideas.
Yes.
But his ideas, to me, don't seem that far-fetched. Like, everything he says makes logical sense to me.
Well, okay, let's just not get into the fact that he got flack recently for the whole coronavirus thing, but we won't talk about
that. That's, well, I give pause because of Elon, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have heard Eric say things about, you know, coronavirus that may be controversial as well, so... Two of the smartest guys, in my opinion, alive today are saying things against or saying things that may run counter to the gated institutional narrative, as Eric likes to say.
I don't know.
I give pause.
Okay, I see. You're saying I listen. You say you listen.
I listen heavily because those guys are usually right about almost everything, it seems, that I've come across.
I remain skeptical of everything.
I am too. Okay, but they give me pause when I think I'm too certain on something.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, those are my beacons of
understanding. Those guys love being contrarians, though. If you think about it,
but they're not contrarians like, for the sake of contrary.
But here's,
I don't like guys like that at all.
No, I don't either. But I'm saying there's a sort of not knee jerk reaction, but there's almost there's a reflex. Almost to
but that's a good reflex because
good
they
reflex.
Know to always question the institutions.
That's a reflex of the intellectual mind, right? To where like, I don't necessarily agree with this. I'm gonna inspect this generally accepted narrative and question it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good instinct to have.
Yeah,
but it can get you in trouble when the consequences are very serious. You know what I mean? So that's all.
In what way?
Just I'm saying, like the cost of like him saying, let's open up the country and It can cost human lives, and they can, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Maybe the way the message was delivered is a little irresponsible.
Yes, that's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
So, but I respect the instinct.
Me too.
Because I have that instinct too. So
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. Because they are so influential, right?
Yeah.
They need to be really clear about what they're saying sometimes, yeah, especially when it's something like a COVID situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Because imagine like a couple years down the line, it's like, oh, we miscalculated this heavily. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. But who knows?
Right.
But Elon would be an interesting guy to have on. This is not to say I wouldn't have him on. I would have him on.
He's a pipe dream guest, though. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he's closer than Bill Gates for sure.
Yeah.
A lot closer than Bill Gates, but
magnitudes level.
But we would have to be clever as fuck to get him on, I think. Yeah. Of course, we know Lex got him, so that could be an in, but you know, yeah, we'd have to get Lex first.
Yeah.
There's ways that are easier than others, but it would be a little bit difficult for sure. But maybe now that Elon's on his cocaine fueled binge, maybe we can get him. Maybe we could get
plus
him.
Plus Grimes. Grimes is awesome.
You're a fan?
His girlfriend Grimes, yeah, she's great.
Oh, I never actually listened to her stuff.
Her music's good.
Is it? It's got to be weird music.
It's electronic music.
Is it poppy or is it weird?
It's like pop, electronic pop music, okay, but it's kind of like it can kind of take themes from like I think I showed you Crystal Castles a long time ago, but it's sort of similar vein of sound, but it's not really. People are probably gonna yell at me, but
same genre maybe.
It's like sort of it's a dark kind of electro pop kind of thing. I don't know how to like.
I gotta check it out.
Qualify it. But yeah, it's good stuff. She's also an interesting character.
Yeah, she is.
Let's just say that.
She is. Well, interesting people attract interesting people.
Yeah, yeah, I respect it. I literally think Elon. I see myself. I see a lot of myself in Elon.
Same.
Which is
same.
Like ridiculous. I'm just like this guy. This guy.
Maybe we're biased in that way because I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get it too. I'm just like, oh,
dude, if I was Elon, if I was that rich, I'd be doing the same fucking thing.
I'm sorry, mom. You're hearing this now. I would be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd be pissing people off by saying stupid shit.
Because at that point, nobody can tell you shit. You can't tell me nothing, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be tanking my stock value by tweeting 420 jokes. This is really dumb.
Dude,
shit.
So true.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Another couple people that I think that would be interesting. I think Salvatore Pai.
Ooh, that would be giant for us.
If you don't know who this guy is, he's a really controversial figure at the moment in the UFO community, if you could say. But also in the scientific community.
Not really. The scientific community pretty much has him bunked.
Has him bunked.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Every scientist I've shown the papers to just laugh.
Well, I mean,
it's the same kind of initial thought that we have.
Okay, but it's... No, I agree. But it's... It has a stamp of approval from the U.S. Naval...
Yeah, that's the most legitimacy it has, though. But the papers themselves just seem
No, they don't stand up.
They aren't, like, compelling.
They're not.
They're not. They have a very... They have a light smell of bullshit.
See, Salvatore, this is your perfect... If you're listening to this now, and if you're a voracious content consumer of stuff that's related to you, we invite you to on the show.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Like, that'd be great to have Pai on, because then we can, you know, actually ask him real pointed physics questions.
Yeah.
But the thing is, man, I mean, Pai is real. I've contacted his advisor. I've asked him about him.
We doxed him.
He said he was a good student. You know, we have his PhD thesis. I mean,
we doxed him. I have to say that again.
Unintentionally doxed.
We have the documents, Alex Jones style.
Other people doxed him for us, and they gave him his information.
Unbelievable.
But we don't have anything crazy. We just have things
it's public information.
Some context stuff.
It's public information stuff.
Yeah, it's just scary. The internet scares me.
Unreal. Just unreal. Just the lengths that some people go to find. It's public information, but still. This just seems ridiculous.
If people had that information about me, I would be a little bit... I would be like, damn it.
Yeah, you know. But he would be great. He would be great to have on. And, yeah. But I'm sure he can't really say much. I'm sure a lot of it is already protected information from...
Sure. But he can explain physics.
Right. Yeah, I would hope.
He can give something. The thing is, his papers as they are just don't hold up. Don't hold up for a scientific person. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we'll analyze papers that most physicists and people might dismiss... I mean, I'm sure, as you guys know, there's I don't know if there's any YouTube or any physicists have covered even Salvatore's papers on YouTube, which is why I think we get a lot of comments on our stuff. But yeah, guys, I mean, we'll touch things that are controversial or that seem wrong, just so that we can show you what's wrong about them.
Yes.
And even if we can fill in the blanks, you know, because we like to even sometimes extrapolate on papers if it seems realistic. You know, I'm very comfortable if I understand it. Of extrapolating concepts and how it might work.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with Pius's paper is just—it's just so. For one, it's out of our fields because me and Juan both have not taken quantum field theory, so we're
not to a level that I think is required for the most part.
Yeah, to even extrapolate.
Yeah, because I took QFT for many particle systems, so it's like you're working in a particular field space.
Yeah. But I don't think you're able to extrapolate on Pius's paper at any reasonable level.
No, I think you'd have to digest that paper a little bit more seriously to really get a sense of what he's talking about.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people don't really know what he's... I mean, he does introduce concepts about, like, you know, many particle systems and stuff, but it's not compelling enough. Yeah, it's just not compelling enough. Like, he doesn't lay out any of the mathematical framework that are required. In fact, most scientific papers will include some kind of Hamiltonian of sorts to kind of give you a picture of, like, okay, we're using this simple toy model to kind of...
Yeah, there will, in most papers, even when they're super complicated, there's something that a normal physicist will be able to latch onto and deconstruct.
Exactly.
With Pius's paper, there's nothing like that. There's just basic equations in there that no normal physicist would ever put in there. Like
it doesn't even make sense. 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, it's like, why would you even throw that in there?
I'm kidding, Salvatore. We want to have you on, man.
No, we're not kidding, though.
Well, I mean, okay, I we're teasing.
He's never going to watch this anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You know what? Maybe one day this will get to him and be like, you see these two physics students making fun of you?
Hey, that's fine. It means put up or shut up, bro.
Salvatore gang.
You know, that's the life of being a physicist. Yeah. You know, put up or shut the fuck up. You know.
Them's fighting words.
Hey, man, that's all I can say, though. That's the game that we signed up for, right?
I guess
so. Pius, you know, if you want to explain yourself, you know, we got a small audience. We got an audience. You know, people will watch.
Yeah.
And if you're on there, that'll be a definite watch in the UFO community.
Yeah.
But I'm sure maybe he doesn't even want that. You know?
I'm sure he does.
Because I've tried to get an interview with him, but can't reach him.
Would you, now that we're on the subject of... UFO.
What's our time too, by the way, Juan?
50 minutes.
Okay, cool.
We're on UFOlogy.
Yeah.
Would you ever interview Bob Lazar?
Absolutely. Absolutely, so I can debunk him quickly.
So Bob Lazar, for you people that don't know, he's supposedly an ex-physicist who famous for coming out with one of the more, according to some people, one of the more reputable...
well, let's say compelling.
Okay, one of the more compelling... stories for the U.S. government having, like, access to alien technology or whatever. But
yeah,
now we've done a couple episodes on this already, so if you're a sci-fi fanatic, go check those out. We kind of dive into that kind of stuff. So
I don't think we did a good job of fully debunking him, but since those videos, I mean, we've discovered enough, I think, to where we can confidently say Bob is a bullshitter of some level. Uh-huh. And probably you should not take his stuff seriously, you know.
Yeah, we'll fight you, Bob.
Yeah, I
I'm kidding.
I just from what I've seen with Bob, he seems like there's something else going on there. He's just he's selling a really good story. I don't know for what means. It could just be for his own personal entertainment of just saying, "Can I fool the world with my story?" But there's something definitely going on. I'm sure you guys who follow closely UFO stuff, there's video out there of Bob. It's a really suspicious one where he basically, someone asked him in the audience, this is like in the 80s or something, when, like, it's random for people to have a video camera, but someone got him on camera saying, he asked him what his professor's names in MIT were, and Bob just off the cuff names two names, and they're from the junior college that he attended where he got his education from, but apparently he says he has a degree in MIT and Caltech, master's degree, but he can't name his thesis advisor. He can't name his, he can't say anything about his thesis.
Insane.
He doesn't know any, no people can corroborate this. So
my man lost.
That's already one really bad strike of just why would he need to make that up? Because now he claims that his record was erased by the government. And then the other hole in his argument that I'm sure he realized after the fact was his element 115 that he supposedly took from S4. But now all of a sudden, oh, he doesn't know where it is or he can't find it anymore. And no, and any undergraduate physicist would ask him, what is the isotope of element 115 then, if you can tell us? At least tell us the isotope.
Yeah.
And of course, he lost element 115, so now he can't tell us anymore.
Oh, goodness.
So those are just two giant glaring holes that he has since revised in his story. Yeah. Conveniently.
Conveniently, of course.
Because I'm sure he's probably, he talked to some physicists and then they saw the bullshit in that. Yep. There's a good video of I don't want to say the guy's name because I don't remember his name, but there's a really good video of a physicist, a real physicist guy, who basically debunks Bob's story in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's, you know, Friedman.
I don't know for sure.
I think it's Dr. Friedman. He's a nuclear physicist, I think. Yeah, he's passed away since.
You feel confidently about that?
Yeah. Just look him up. He's written several books on UFO stuff.
Yeah.
He's also a huge nerd about this stuff, too. So, it's, yeah.
Okay, well, that guy does a great job of just debunking Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, viciously within just a few minutes. Yeah. I mean, he looked at his background. Bob was most likely just a technician or something who worked on gamma ray sensors or something like that. And that's why he worked at Los Alamos. He did actually work at Los Alamos. Mm-hmm. And I think he did actually work at Area 51 too, but he's just a tech guy.
Yeah, you know? it's in all caps, destroys.
Yeah, he called up people and actually figured it out, got the records.
Yeah.
Bob's just a technician. He's a gamma sensor technician or something, gamma ray sensor technician. Mm-hmm. You know, or guy, he like, I think he worked on like Geiger counters or something.
Yeah, too bad he couldn't build the sense for, I don't know.
You were so close, Juan. There was something there.
There was something there. All right.
You know what? Juan's working on his joke writing skills,
finish
guys.
Finish it off in the comments.
No, we're trying to get our comedy bone up a little bit. So Juan's been laying down some fire ass jokes, and he's building that comedic
during
muscle.
Quarantine. Yeah. I mean, it's just, this is my default state of being like a dumb idiot. This is how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to get a little bit funnier for you guys at some point, too. Yeah,
but the thing is, I have to, you know, I've been taking lead pills to purposefully lower my IQ so that I can just be dumber. No, but yeah, I think in every sense of, in every sense of the word, just want to say thank you.
Yes,
to the listeners and the people who we had on.
Yes, guys, thank you so much.
We hope to have many more people. We didn't even get to the East Coast people because I think it's a little bit, I don't want to like shoot off the hip.
Well, Michio Kaku's,
he's on the East Coast technically.
He's, yeah, I think he's a New York professor.
Yeah, Brian Green is out there.
Neil Tyson,
but those guys are all closer proximity to us, and
we hopefully
that we can build up enough of a rapport in the next couple months that we should have, hopefully if everything goes well, we should have some content that could be
sure
out.
Maybe
it's like gonna
no
be,
promises but no we're promises. Trying guys, we're always trying to do more for you all.
We're elevating this is the first year we took this podcast seriously and it's doing well.
I told you it's gonna be the year of the Icon Bros. Don't you worry.
It's doing well, so
but we're still going.
Just we haven't given up, just letting you all know this quarantine ain't slowing us down, so so yeah,
indeed.
But yeah, I think, did you have any other podcasts, like guests that you would want to have on, I guess, before we...
You mean physics related?
Yeah, or whatever, even science related, maybe even non-science related.
Well, one I kind of just said quickly there on the East Coast was Neil Tyson I would love to have on. Because Neil already has his own podcast as well.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's almost one of those unobtainables as well, because I'm sure he just got, you know, so much shit going on. I don't know if we could ever get him.
He'd be like a 20-minute interview.
Yeah. If that, like... Yeah.
He's on the toilet while we're interviewing.
Right. He's like, guys, can we hurry this up? I mean...
You're grunting over the phone. Hey, man, you're at that age where you got to get your fiber in. So that's... Shouts out if you're doing that. But yeah, he would be great. He would be...
He'd be so easy, I think, to do an interview
with.
He's
an interesting guy. I think he's enough of a character. He's enough of a character where I think he would mesh pretty well.
Yeah. I'm sure he could probably he could carry the whole interview.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'd probably have to say one thing and then he would just go off, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd take us under his wing and then we'd like soar to new heights.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd go have lunch with him and then we'd become best friends and then.
Yeah.
You know, then,
but the thing I would.
Kidding.
But I'm for real though. If like, if we saw him in person, I think that definitely could go.
Oh, we'd
like
hit
that.
It off.
Yeah.
Oh, he would love us, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But one thing that I always try to think of when I'm doing interviews with guests is try to get something new or something unusual about them or take it in a new or weird direction that most people wouldn't. And with Neil, I think a lot of times I don't know if I've ever seen any interviews with him, but I don't watch his podcast. I've never seen anything where people kind of take him down the rabbit hole of like his research or what he did in school. You know, it's always like layman science stuff. So I'd like to take him in a direction of like, what does he do at the highest levels?
I think early on he kind of did. Like I remember watching a podcast specifically about this. This was a long time ago, so don't quote me on anything. But he's from Brooklyn, I think. I think he was born and raised in Brooklyn, or
I think you're right, something like that.
I was going to say the Bronx, but I don't think the Bronx.
Some B.
The BX. No, I don't think he was born there. But he is. He's from New York, and he was like. He got really interested in physics early on, there was one picture out there that I think somebody asked him on the podcast where he's like swole. Have you seen this picture?
Yeah, I think I've seen
it. We're going to post it on the video if you haven't seen
it's the black and white one, right?
Yeah. He's like super swole. He's like, he looks like a male stripper pretty much. I want to ask him about that and just be like, hey.
Well, I think funnily enough, he was a dancer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he used to dance, and he also used to do wrestling.
Oh, wrestling? I can see that. Yeah. The enigmatic guy.
Limber,
sure. Yeah. Enigmatic for sure. He's just he's just a character. He's just got a lot of interesting things, I think, to say.
Yeah. I'd love to just dive into that kind of stuff in his life, the more unusual things that nobody really talks about with him.
Yeah.
So.
Shouts out to him. Him and Carl Sagan. I think there's a lot of good orators that kind of have come through the times.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Sagan, real quick, before we?
Honestly, man, I came kind of late to the Sagan train because I think
he's past our time.
Yeah, I think he died before we were born, 100%. Or maybe around the same time. But Sagan's cool, man. I respect him. Respect what he's done. I mean, I know the legacy he's left has been huge because I mean, people always are quoting his shit to this day. And they're always comparing him to the, you know, to the popularizers that are big today. But yeah, I mean, Sagan's great. I just wish we could have had more shit from him, you know?
Yeah, I want to be able to emulate his voice. I think I've had it before, but I can't get it there.
Well, people always use the key word with him, of course, is the billions.
Billions.
Billions and billions.
Billions and billions of stars.
That's so bad. It's terrible.
I'm functioning off of memory, man. My memory's not as great as it used to be. Billions. Billions. I don't know.
Sounds like Agent Smith.
Neo.
Mr. Neo. One of these lives has a future, the other does not.
You take the blue pill or the red pill?
That's Morpheus one.
Okay, no, I know, but just thinking about him as Morpheus.
Cannot stand the stench of humans. It's their smell.
He would, though. No, he's a lover of humanity. I respect him in every sense of the word. He is the grandfather in a lot of ways.
Sagan?
Lot of these people. Yeah. So,
the great poet of physics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're very romantic about the sense. And I'm very romantic about the universe, too. So...
I think you got to be if you really love the universe, you know?
Yeah.
Or just love understanding how it works.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
But yeah, with that, I guess if you guys have any big listeners that y'all want to, maybe y'all can like add.
Or any listeners. They don't have to be big, you know? You guys just let us
know. I'm saying like any, if your listeners have any big people in mind or even any other content creators out there, maybe science people that
you
should check out, that'd be great. Because
science, math,
yeah,
programming,
yeah,
any of those tech people,
100%,
STEM,
STEM.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it? No, STEAM.
Oh, yeah. We have had Diana
Science,
Lee on,
technology,
artist.
Engineering, arts, and math.
I think Diana Lee was our first artist on. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully many more.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so.
There's a lot of, because there's a lot of artists in science. As much as people don't want to admit that they have hobbies outside of science for some whatever frickin' reason.
The arts and the sciences, baby. Yeah. It's called that for a reason.
So please leave a comment down below. And and yeah.
Yep. I guess we'll see you next time, guys.
Yep.
Ta-ta.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Thank you for making it this far. If you have, just want to reiterate, please leave a comment, like, subscribe if you haven't already. Share this with your family and friends if you haven't.
And already. Online.
Or share some of the interviews of people that you think some people might like. That would be great. Go back into our catalog. Look at all that. I know this is more about the process. So anyway, check out our socials.
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, check out our socials. Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, also the website, eigenbros.com, where you can find all the podcast episodes. And yeah, that's it, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yep.